Okay, good, we're recording. So this first lesson, so it's October 18th, 2009, and the first lesson that we're going to do is called Aligning the Body. So again, just sit comfortable in your chair, and the first thing I want you to do is just notice how you sit. Okay, so go ahead and close your eyes, and notice for yourself as you take your mind down into your pelvis. And if you can, if you sit, with your legs uncrossed, see if you can notice if there's more weight in one sit bone compared to the other. And then if you want to, you can even slide your hands under one buttocks and then the other. And just feel your sit bones. See if that gives you a better clarity as to how do you sit in the sit bones. So they're these two hard bones. And they're the base of your pelvis. And they're real important to know how to identify. Good. Okay. And slide your hands out. And then to help you a little bit, bring yourself closer to the edge of the chair. So each time we're going to do a movement, I'd like you to sit towards the edge of the chair. And when I give you a period of time to rest, you can sit back. So as you sit on the edge of the chair, now notice those sit bones and notice how you're sitting with your back. Okay, so just observe without trying to sit correctly or do the right thing. And let's have your feet flat. There you go, flat and forward. So the first movement I'd like you to do is we're going to actually roll your pelvis a little bit. So I want you to think of, in a way we'll say sitting sloppier, as if to curl your pelvis under and your back rounds. And then to roll your pelvis forward and kind of arch your back, okay? And what I'd like you all to do is, right here in the front, it's an area we don't identify very much, is your pubic bone, okay? So I'd like you to put your fingers there and feel your pubic bone. So when you round your pelvis under, the pubic bone will pull up towards your belly and abdomen. And as you bring your belly forward and your pelvis, the pubic bone should tilt down. Okay, this is really key because this is relating to your pelvis and so that you're moving your pelvis, not your back. Okay, so try it again. And then roll forward and really let that pubic bone, it tilts down. And then you should feel underneath you, the sit bones come right underneath you. Got that? So, and this is, again, really an important distinction from your back. So you're getting into your pelvis, because this is the most important part, is that pelvis. And exaggerate it. See how far you can come forward. The back is easy. Everybody does the back way, right? Does everybody know that, right? Because we sit so sloppy. Yeah. And actually, you can attach that way of sitting to self-image. Okay, well, so that's a good awareness. So you want to keep your feet flat. That's a good awareness, very good awareness. So again, most people are back here. And you feel that pubic bone. So the first thing you want to have happen is that pubic bone tilts down, I think down towards the floor and forward. And effortlessly, those sit bones come underneath you, right? And feel what happens with your posture. So really, is the changing the posture about changing your back? Or does it start down here? So again, if we think of self-image, if somebody's sitting, so sit back for a moment, rest for a minute. Everybody clear on that? Okay. So if I'm sitting here with my friend here, so if I'm sitting like this, what do I tell you about myself?
That's how I'm sitting.
Mom, don't worry about you. Okay, so now, if I'm sitting like this, what do I tell you about myself?
Confident. Paying attention.
And can you feel energetically how different that is? Mm-hmm. So there is a certain, like, we create this, we all have a certain amount of space that, you know, this is, again, about your whole perception of yourself and others. So, you know, often when we're meeting people, it's so interesting. You go in for, like, you know, in an interview and there's a desk there, right? There's these spatial things, because if we were like to be like this.
Now, this is my kind of posture.
Woo! This is like, whoa, you know? I mean, this is like, you know, and so how often do we show up like that in our lives? And who are we allowed to show up like that with, right? And there's certain people that, like, I think with me here, you'll feel today, it's like it doesn't feel so scary, but there's other people you could, it, you know, and you may go, you know, you'll go back more. So do you see how just in this first movement, how we'll use our pelvis and this, and it's unbelievable with kids at school because they're like, I mean, they're like, you know, they're like, you know, covering up everything, right? Because it's self-image. You never see, you know, these kids sitting up like this. Does that make sense? Okay, so come back to it. So now that you've done that movement, see if you can find the sit bones and be there for the next movement, okay? Yeah.
Is it hard to be too far forward? I feel like if I go too far forward, I'm coming off of the seat.
Yes, so you can go too far forward. Excellent. So you gauge yourself. Okay. So, and what's important is to, I always like people to, what I say is, instead of looking for it right, because I don't think there is really a right, is go the extremes to find where neutral is, right? Again, it's a learning. So if you don't feel the extremes, it's like somebody saying, stand up and feel balanced. It's like, what? What does that mean? But if I start to give you some parameters, what too far forward is, what back is, then all of a sudden you can go, oh, I think I can find the middle, right? So excellent. So yeah, if you go too far forward, you're going to actually feel that you're off the sit bones, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what's critical in riding, as you know, because it's a common thing. I'm working with a couple riders, but, you know, especially in jumping, is to go forward. You know, if they're yanking with the reins or their neck, is to be taken off those sit bones. Okay, so come back to that place. So you scoot to the edge of the chair, and your feet are flat. And now begin to do a movement with your head. You're going to tilt your right ear towards your right shoulder. So it's a tilting. We're not turning. And then you come back to the center. Just notice how you do that. And if you just do the movement in your neck, how comfortable it is. That's nice, Byron. And so as you're doing these movements, it's real important that you go slow and you're attentive to yourself, right? The awareness. You feel what you're doing, how comfortable the range is. You stop when it's uncomfortable and always come back to the starting position. That's it. Good. Now bring your head back up to center and leave it in the center. And now this next movement, begin to lift your right hip joint. So you're going to lift the right hip joint away from the chair. So that would mean you probably shove it all the way over to, all the weight over to the
left.
You're so smart. See how smart the body is? It's just brilliant. Makes my job so easy. That's it. So lift the right hip joint. And notice how you do it. So there's a couple different ways to do this movement. So again, I don't want to tell you the right way. We're gonna look at the possibilities. So first, feel how you do it. And preferably, most of you are doing this, close your eyes doing the movements, because then you stay, it's your way of being aware of yourself. If you open your eyes, we can look around the room and see what others are doing. And that's not very useful. It's what dancers do. That's why they're all a mess. They really are.
They all know that.
You know what I mean then?
Yeah.
right? Because it's all like looking in the mirror to do something correct instead of what does it feel like. Good. So one way to do this, so we're all going to now copy what several of you are doing, is as you lift the right hip, is you lean the whole body over to the left. So it's almost kind of like you're a board, right? You kind of have to be kind of stiff, and that's it, you lean over. So this is one way of lifting the right hip. And exaggerate it, like how far can you actually go over to the left where you feel like if I go any further, I might fall off the chair, right? Right, so your head and everything's going all the way over to the left. And I'm going to call this a very non-differentiated movement. Okay, so what's that like? Again, just explore. Just do it the one way. We're doing everything to the right.
Our ear to our shoulder and lifting our
hip? No, not yet. Just lifting the right hip until everything over. Just note, good. Okay, good. Now come back. So that's one way. Right? And notice how most of you started to hold your breath too. Okay, so the other way is, as you just mentioned, is to lift your right hip, but at the same time, bring your ear and your shoulder down towards the hip. So I think of it as like making a C, right? A C curve. So as you lift the right hip, your right ear goes to the right. And what's in the middle are your ribs. So your ribs start to scrunch together. And for whatever reason, I always think of an accordion, right? It goes apart and together. And that's what these beautiful ribs are there to do, is to scrunch together, expand. That's it. So you do the movement, and then you come back. Good. That's it, Byron.
You're good there. And let's see.
Yeah, let's think of that shoulder coming down. There you go. And then come back up. And then do it again. Now go back to the other way. And feel for yourselves. Just think, you don't have to say it out loud, what's different? And what happens differently with your breath and your breathing? In which way do you maintain breathing, let's say that, or which way do you start to hold your breath? Right, there's that way, and then I want you to do the other way. So, scrunch on this side, that's it, there. And one more way of thinking of it when you do the C curve is the ribs on your left side stick out. So, there's all different ways of thinking of the movement, and for some of you, that might resonate. So just think. Right. So that tells you so much about you.
Yeah. It's in my writing.
There you go. It's so amazing. See, that's why we don't need the horse here today. Because this is what I mean. The habit is everywhere in your life. It shows up everywhere. Okay, so try thinking of it, like I said, is, oh, wow, the ribs come out onto the left, and as the ribs expand out, how lovely that my head and shoulder tilt down to the right. And does that make anything different for you? For some of you, yes. For others? Good. Okay, come back, sit back, and with your eyes closed, just relax and rest.
Mm-hmm. I noticed all that last time. Hopefully those things are on track. I got a new one today.
Uh-huh.
This leg is tensing up.
Uh-huh.
So do I just tell it to relax?
Well, so remember what I said earlier? Well, that, you got that, so that's good. As soon as you're aware of it, the change will start to occur.
Okay.
So as you have the awareness, So this is the other stretch with this work, is there's kind of layers that I've got your attention going, right? You've got one thing going, and then all of a sudden this awareness shows up. And so how do you learn to have something in the foreground and something in the background, and that you shift them? So what you do, both of you, is you shift. It's like, so you pay attention to the movement I ask you to do, but you've got this over here and you're just noticing, is it still there? And then you kind of let it go. And then as we change to another movement, you might go, oh, I stopped doing it. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Does that make sense for everybody? Okay. Come back to the edge of your chair again. And this time I'm going to have you put your right hand on top of your head. And with... And that's right. There you go. There's two attentions. That one's a hard one, though. We won't do that. So now with your hand on your head, again, you're going to start to fold to the right. You're going to lift the right hip. And I like thinking that the right elbow is coming down to touch the hip, and the hip is lifting to touch the elbow. So again, you fold, and then always come back to neutral, the starting position. And really notice now what's happening in your pelvis, how you shift your weight into the left sit bone. And do you have any tendency to clench in the feet or push with the feet? Just notice, and if you can take a breath and say, well, is there a way I can do this movement without that parasitic effort? So again, the right hip lifts and the right elbow, just like they were going to come together and touch. And I like to use a lot of visualization. When I first got into this work, I used to say, I'm just hallucinating all the time. Because I couldn't do a lot of movement when I first started doing this work from my accident. So I did have to do a phenomenal amount of visualization to get things to start moving for me. That's it. Good. Really good. And notice, do you do more of the movement with your head and your neck or with the pelvis? Or is it possible to think of them moving simultaneously and with the same degree of effort? So there's a quality, right? That they're both happening at the same time, and it's like really luscious and easy and flowing. Or are you just yanking on your neck and then all of a sudden the hip lifts up and it's kind of, does that make sense? It's kind of staccato-y, you know? That's it. So the other levels of movement, once you learn a movement, is ease, elegance, the quality. Okay, sit back and rest. So again, back to kids and children, is they will repeat something until they get the movement to this really beautiful quality, where it's effortless, easy, and then they move on. But they will repeat and repeat until they get to that place, because they're looking for that ease, because that's what we all want, is that ease. You don't have time to do this on the horse, right? You don't have time to think this out. Now you do. Okay, come back to the edge of your chair. And this time you're going to place your right hand behind your back. Okay? And I like to think of it as like maybe as if I had an itch. I always get itchy and under my shoulder blades anyways. So I'm going to scratch. So now the elbow and the hand are sliding along the back and slightly up. And as you do so, your right ear comes down towards your right shoulder and you lift the right hip joint. And so again, this is what we would call, we're repeating the same idea of movement, but we're exploring it with different possibilities. It's very different with your arm coming behind your back than on top of your head. And can you feel how your spine laterally shifts to the left? Good. Just do that a few more times. Notice your jaw. Often this is a position that sometimes we start clenching in the jaw to bring our arm behind us.
Each time I bring my head up, I notice either in C4 or C5, I have a clink.
Click?
Clink. Like it's trying to pop itself.
Uh-huh.
But I don't feel that anywhere else in my spine.
So I'd say it's probably maybe, it's a possibility that it's over moving. So think of the area right below. Just put your mind, your intention at C6, C7, C, or T1. and think, oh, I'm going to move there more. That's where the movement's going to initiate. See what that's like. Okay, now pause for a moment and just sit at the edge of the chair and just notice how you're sitting with your sit bones now. And how is the right side different? What has the right side already learned? So does the right sit bone feel somehow more present? Is there something more attentive happening there? Yes, no, maybe?
Lighter,
great.
Lighter, yeah.
And what else, Byron?
More free,
excellent. Okay, and I want to add in one other movement we didn't do, give you guys some variety that are repeating this. So this next time, shift your weight into your left sit bone so that you literally really lift the right sit bone. Like it's, there you go, it's off. And you can use your toes, your foot, your right foot a little bit. So you really lift, and I want you to keep it up. Now I want you to think of moving the right side of your pelvis forward and back. That's it. Yeah, how do you do that? That's it. And also another way of thinking of it is the knee comes forward and then the knee comes back. So the knee and pelvis come forward and back. Now again, notice for some of you if you're holding your breath. See if you can breathe. Good. Okay, pause for a moment. We'll come back to it. And we'll see if we can now do it without the foot.
Without what?
Without the foot. So we're going to eliminate having to use the foot. So come back to the edge of the chair if you're not already. Most of you are. So it means that the left side knows how to hold you up so well. That's it. So see if your foot can be more rested on the floor. Some of you had the heel lifted up, so you can lower the foot, but not to lift the heel. See if you can challenge yourself to keep the whole foot down so the whole foot can nicely press down. And now do it quicker. Just forward, back, doot, 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 doot. So you're just basically spinning on your left sit bone. So you should have total clearance on the right side. Not even touching. There you go. Forward, back, forward, back, forward, back. And what's happening in the chest? Are some of you letting the chest move? Or are some of you just not moving there at all? Okay, so those of you that are moving in the chest, don't. And tell your friends in the class what that's like that are not moving. So what's that like? Is it way harder? What's the first thing that goes?
I feel my QL muscle.
Okay, what else starts to happen?
I notice I stopped breathing.
There you go.
My other leg started moving a lot more.
Bingo. Yeah. So, sit back and rest. So, the first thing that always, always goes is your breath and breathing. The moment you start to hold, you go into a holding pattern, your breath goes. So it's a great place to pay attention to, and this is something you can do when you're riding on the horse, is watch the regulation of your breath and breathing. Okay? That's what makes me such a great runner. That is what I watch the whole time when I'm running. That is what regulates me. Okay? If I start to lose my breath, I back off. When I've got enough breath, I pick up. You know, and when people have run with me and they're like, your pace is amazing. It's so in sync. Because everybody always starts off too fast and then I hear them breathing. It's like, you know, you go by them and they're and they're like, you're so quiet, you're silent because you don't need to be doing all that extra effort. So that's what I use to regulate all the time. So you can do that on the horse. You can pay attention to that. Okay, so come back. So those of you, you know who you are, that weren't moving everything, stretch yourself that, yes, I said shift your weight to the left, so the right sit bone's up, but let the rib cage and everything just kind of follow. So you initiate the movement with the right hip and leg going forward and back. That's the initiation, but allow the rest of yourself to just follow. Does that make sense? How are you doing, Pam? Yes? And try it a little faster. You don't have to be so delicate with it. Faster. Go really fast. How fast can you go? There. There you go. There. That's it.
Yeah, I feel that, but it's subtle.
You got an itch, right? And this is the only way you can do it. Good. Okay, let it go and rest. Okay, sit back and just rest. Good job. More of your stuff is in your upper body than you always think.
Yeah.
It just
really, it was moving, but it was really subtle. So I felt it in my shoulder here, but I wasn't letting that one go.
Yeah.
So you want your shoulder to move.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you said isolate your, so that's what I was isolating.
I had you first start with that, and then I pulled in that you could do everything so that you had the distinction. Yeah. Okay, so come back to the edge of the chair. Now, this is the really fun part. So let's go back to, we're going to lift the right hip, and we're going to tilt it this way. Tilt the head and the shoulder. And is it nice now? Is it lighter and easier? Yeah? So why would that be? Why would the previous movement have anything to do with this movement? It's amazing, huh? Right? So you do something in a completely different direction that seems like it's not related at all, yet it affects, do you see what I'm saying? This is the concept, it affects the whole system. So the moving forward and back gives you more clarity for the side bending. That make sense? Okay, good. Okay, so go ahead and sit back, rest again. Okay, so let's come to the edge of your chair again and pay attention to your sit bones. And again, just observe for a moment here the difference between your two sides and just how you experience your right side. There's definitely a quality of, sometimes I think of it as like aliveness, that you sense more of that entire side than you did before. Does that make sense for everybody? Great. Okay, so let's start now with the left side, and you'll see how smart you are, how smart the connection is in the brain. So this is like back to the guy, right, Russell. So because you already know what I'm going to ask you to do. You already do. So I'm going to have you tilt your left ear towards your left shoulder. And as some of you are going to feel, you're already involving the ribs, right? I didn't have to ask you this time. You feel that? Because you know that that's eventually where we went to. So this is how quickly the process in your brain of learning happens. So that's it. So bring the right ear down to the right shoulder. Or sorry, left, excuse me. We're on the left side. And then start to shift your weight onto your right sit bone. So that would mean that your left sit bone starts to lift. So that's it. And then you go back to the beginning. And again, just, I'm going to be quiet here for a little bit so that you explore for yourself the relationship between your head, your left ear, the left shoulder, how the ribs on the left side come together and the ribs on the right side expand, the lifting of the left hip. So you just observe your own process. And what's nice, some of you are exploring some of the other, you know, the other way we did it, when you tilted the whole self. Just try that on. What is it like if you're kind of stiff and you just tilt yourself all over to the right? And that's an excellent way of learning and having what I always try to encourage people is to just be curious. How is this different? What happens to my breath and breathing when I do it this way? That's nice. Okay, and sit back and rest. And the thing that's so neat about this work is, especially since Ellie and Aaron came to the first time, it's like, so we did this lesson, you know, but it's like, so what? Because if you come from a reference of having curiosity, you can do the same lesson, I'm not kidding you, because I've been doing this for 25 years, 1,000 times, and you just can take yourself to a deeper, different level again and again. And every time you can learn something new. Oh, what's happening now? Then you take yourself to the spine, and you can get, like, okay, if the hip becomes easy and the head becomes easy, well, let's take the focus somewhere else. And again, the idea is you just get really curious, like, what's going on here? Just like a kid would be. What's happening here? You know, I want to know, right? So if you have that kind of curiosity, it makes it so fun instead of like, I'm just doing this movement. You know, what is it about? But it's like, wow, what do I feel this time? So the learning never stops. And that became very intriguing for me as I started to teach this work and taking the same lessons and doing them tons of times. And what could I learn this next time? What could I refine even better? Even better, you know, learn more. Oh, what if I try it this way or that way? Does that make sense? And then it just makes you have a lot more fun with it. There's a lot of playfulness in it. Okay, come back to the edge of your chair, and you're going to put your left hand on top of your head. And with the left hand on top of your head, you're going to lift the left hip, and you start to fold to the left side. So it's like a backward C. And again, then I move my attention around, so my attention then goes, oh, the ribs on the right side are now sticking out. And I have a lot of curiosity about that, like, is that easier for me? For me, the left side is way easier to do a C-curve. So it's just something to ask yourself, do I do this C-curve easier on the left side, or was it easier on the right side? And ease being the quality, the range and the quality. Good. And it doesn't on the other side.
No, okay. It doesn't, the ribs don't, or the bones don't touch each other.
Okay. So that tells you, yeah. Good. So just play with that. Notice if anything's happening with our feet, mm-hmm. or if that's quieting.
Well, it's still the same foot.
Okay, so that's like, that's really huge information, right? So it doesn't matter which sit bone you shift to. She constantly.
And that's probably my unbalance.
So, well, we'll keep getting to that. So, but so I mean, this is great. See, this is what I mean. Everybody's different, and never should we assume. This is when I work one-on-one with people. Never would I make the assumption. Oh, she just does that on the right side. I would check out to see. Oh, is it occur on the left side? Is it a side thing, or is it something else? Because it's not about the side. Okay, come back, pause for a minute, rest, sit back in your chair and rest. And that's going back to, see, everybody's different. So yours has a different meaning. Yeah, we're peeling off the layers. You what?
I just have these knees x-rayed. This one's bone on bone. So he said, I have to do something. I'm like, isn't that interesting? It's this one.
Uh-huh, it is. There's more information. Mm-hmm. We'll put it all together. You collect data.
Yes, that's right.
You collect, and it all has a meaning. That's the important thing.
You know, when I asked what can I be doing, it's kind of like, oh, I'll just do this, this, and this. I'm going, no, there's more to this.
Yeah. Okay, come back to the edge of your chair again. And so this time you're going to slide the left arm behind your back, right, as if to maybe scratch the right shoulder blade. And again, just notice for yourself, how is it for you with the left arm? And if there's any kind of, for some of you, shoulder stuff, is it more difficult to get the left arm behind you than the right? And again, it's information. And then seeing how can you still do some of the movement? Do you hold your breath? And if you are, allow yourself to breathe. Can you feel how your left shoulder blade slides down your back as you move your arm over to the right? That's it. Okay. And rest it. Sit back and rest. Okay, bring yourselves to the edge of the chair again. And then let's try that other movement I had you do where you shift all your weight onto your right sit bone, right? You lift the left, and then I had you move the knee and the hip forward and back. And again, for some of you, you're going to go, oh, it's way easier on this side than the other side, or it's more challenging. I'm holding my breath on this side, or just, again, observe awareness, what shows up for you. And if you're using the foot, and then can you find a moment where you can allow the foot to relax? So, Byron, shift all, even more. Get that butt airborne, like an aircraft. There you go. There you go. That worked. Now, move it forward and back. There you go. I don't want it at all touching.
I'm using my chest.
Your rib cage. There you go. Okay, let it go. Sit back and rest. And as you're resting, just notice how are you breathing? So as we move like this, even in these subtle ways, it improves our breathing tremendously. Okay, come back to the edge of your chair and just check in for a moment and notice how you are now with those sit bones. See if you can recall the pubic bone. And if you're a little bit rounded or too far forward, and maybe go back to that first movement of rounding yourself back and then tipping the pubic bone forward to find the sit bones underneath you. Notice how much more awareness and clarity you have now, right? In such a short time, how much you've already learned. A huge, huge amount. So find that good place on the sit bones, and now we're going to kind of combine these two movements. So we'll start with the right side. So you'll lift the right sit bone and tilt your head down to the right. You'll come back to the center, and then you'll go over to the left. Okay? Good. And some of you, you know what I'm going to have you do is just kind of really position your feet, let's say your feet and your legs, as if you were like on the horse, you know. So some of you have got your legs and feet a little bit, not quite that wide, but a little, yeah, there we go. There, that's good. Perfect. I mean, that's a whole nother issue. You know, when we go back to like the whole self-image and stuff, and it's like, not to leave you out, Byron, but it's such an issue for women. Is to sit like this feels quite
unladylike.
Yes, because we're taught, right? It's like, you know, like this way or this way. Sometimes I see women that are just, it's so unbelievable how curled up they are. Like, whoa, how small can they be? But this feels like as if you're doing this when you're really not, right? So it's another back to reflective of self-image. It's like, whoa, this feels it, you know, but I've been doing this for, you know, 25 years. So this is like, this is like Only time I do this is on an airplane when I'm forced to. Hate it. That's the only place I feel like I'm like, you know, but otherwise, you know, this is. Okay, so come to that place. And now let's try the two movements, rocking back and forth. And look for inside of you, like almost like a rhythm. For some reason, the word pendulum comes up, like if you were a pendulum and just, you're shifting from one side to the other. Good. Now find this moment where you could stop your head from moving. So you keep your head on the horizon, but you keep the sit bones shifting. That's it. So make your head really still. And go ahead, actually, let's have you open your eyes. That'll help, right? So we're almost going to pretend like we're on the horse, right? Because we don't want to be doing this on the horse, right? So pick a spot to look at and then start to shift in the pelvis. And you'll see the movement in the ribs gets lighter. Do it a little faster, right? Doop, 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 back and forth there. But keep that head still. So that's what we call this often is like I'm giving you what I call a constraint. Constraint is now no tilting of your head. So it means the nervous system, the brain, recognizes how to access the movement bigger everywhere else because we took out the movement of the head. That's it. Faster. Think less. There you go. Faster, faster, faster. Do, 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 do. There you go. Just like wiggle, I think of Jell-O. That's nice, Pam. Faster, faster. And let's see. Look up, right? You're on the horizon. There, quicker. You can go faster than that. I know you can. There you go. Like that, right? Because that's the movement. You're not going that slow unless you got old Betsy.
Yes, she can.
Okay, if you're tired, you can rest and then come back to it. I want you, okay, let this go and fast, fast, fast. Fast, 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 fast. There you go. Make it bigger. Not so much with the shoulders, just bigger with the pelvis. Bigger with the pelvis. Boom, 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 boom. There you go. That's it.
Now we can remember
that. You will remember it because you've experienced it in here. Okay, how's that feeling? Yeah? How you doing over there, Pam?
Good. Could probably go faster, but
yeah.
I have to be careful with my head.
You know, yes, there's a lot of protection here. So let's pause, and I want you to bring that pubic bone a little more forward. Ah, there we go. Okay, but see if this all can come for the ride, too. There. Now feel that. Stay with me. Don't slump back. Stay with me. Okay, and just there you go. Give me your head. Okay, and start the movement. That's it. Now, faster, faster. There you go. Feel how nice and light your head is.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Nice, nice. Faster, faster, faster. Nope, you lost it. Yeah, just don't think. Okay, good. Okay, shh. Okay, so just take a moment and feel sitting. How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah? How's it feel? Good? Okay, so let's bring you up to standing and just feel what it's like in standing. So, yeah. Notice how you feel your feet now underneath you. How do you feel your pelvis? How do you feel your shoulders? You feel how much lighter your shoulders are?
Gravity.
Yeah, you get to feel gravity. So how you feel that is because you're more in your skeleton now and there's less parasitic effort. And the more that you're functioning from this level, then the more freedom and ease that you have. So if you can imagine, I mean, this is how I run, is with so minimal, no extra effort at all, pulling in so that it's real easy.
Okay, I have a question then. How do you fix seated posture?
Because when I was a kid, I sat like this. So I...
You just move. You just teach your body how to... You're going to love the next lesson. The next lesson's designed for you.
So
okay.
I can't run. Like I
oh,
run
sure you can.
No, talking to the
yeah.
wrong person.
Exactly. Exactly. Technically, I shouldn't be able to run. I mean, I had 9 surgeries on my left side. I'm missing 3 muscle groups in my left leg, broke my pelvis, my femur, my ankle, shoulder. All the odds are against that I should ever be able to run. And I just did a huge accomplishment back in Park City where I did the triple challenge. So it's 3 events in 7 weeks. The first one you run 18 miles, 9 miles up to 10,000 feet and back. So this is all on trails. 2 weeks later, half marathon through the city. And 3 weeks later, the marathon. So I run from Deer Valley through Park City through the canyons on trails. And I got 2nd.
Wow.
Only an Olympic cross skier Olympian beat me. So there. So
you can undo anything.
You can undo anything. And you use, and that's the beauty of this work, is that what I learned from getting involved with Feldenkrais is, okay, I have these things missing. Kind of like, well, so what? How do I become so efficient with what I do have? Because I'm never going to get these muscles back. I can't feel the outside of my left leg. It's just not going to happen. So how do I bring so much clarity to the rest of the system and functionality that it doesn't even faze me to do that level of competition and those kinds of distances, especially on uneven surfaces and you're negotiating a lot. So, okay, what I'd like you to do is take a really quick break. So bathroom, walk around if you need some water, and then we'll come back to doing the second lesson. Okay,
come
good?
Go. I felt up like right in my lower back, like spasming. Just because I...
No trouble. No trouble. No trouble.